Sunday school class and a soul winning night, and they were faithful and they were loyal and they were all eager to do something for God. And we don't see that as much as we should. Now, praise God, we've got some young men in our church right now that are excited about God's word, that are excited about doing something for God, and it's such a blessing to see the way the youth is fervently seeking God these days. What a blessing. Thank you, Brother Todd and Brother Blaine, for helping that to be. But we as a church, I believe we can have greater loyalty to God. Now, we're going to give you, and I'm going to give you the three points of the outline. There's three levels of loyalty that I believe we can pull out of the scripture. Two of them are flawed, and only one of them is real. But let me give you the three levels. One is the bargaining level with God. The bargaining level of loyalty, where people only are loyal to God if they can get a good deal out of the bargain. The second level is the, if I could call it this, the because level of loyalty, that a person feels forced to be loyal to God because they're afraid of God. It reminds me of that verse where the Bible says that you believe in God, well, thou doest well, but the demons, the devils also believe and tremble. To paraphrase, it's not an exact quote. But they tremble, but they're only loyal because they tremble. They only do what God makes them do because they're afraid of judgment. So we got the three levels. The bargaining level of loyalty, where you make a deal with God. The if you could only get something out of it. The because level of loyalty, where you're afraid of judgment from God. And we're going to look at that. And thirdly, the one we should all be at, hopefully the one we should all get to, is the believing level of loyalty. So let's look at that first one, the bargaining level of loyalty. And I think this is epitomized in Genesis. Turn over to Genesis, the first book of the Bible, chapter number 28, verse number 20. And we see here a big if from the man who is called the trickster in the Bible. Did you know the Bible calls somebody a trickster? It's right there in the Bible. The trickster, the liar, the deceiver, but he's also called the substitute. And there's a lot of levels to that name. It's really interesting. But this guy, when he still thought he could bargain with God, was still at the trickster level with God. He got to the believing level later, but this is this part of his life where he thought he could bargain with God. Genesis 28, verse 20. And Jacob, this is when Jacob is running for his life because Esau wants to kill him, because he's cheated Esau out of his birthright, out of his double blessing, his portion as a... And he's coming out. He's running for his life, and God appears to him in an amazing way in Genesis 28, 20. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, and notice how it starts. Some people call this word the biggest two-letter word in the English language. See what that's... What's that word, guys? If. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in his way that I go, in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. What in the world? God's only going to be your God if he does something for you then? What, is God got to be on probation here? Is this a trial faith? You know, people have trial positions at work 90 days and then you're hired in. This kind of, is God on probation? Then will the Lord be my God. Oh boy. He thought he had God over a barrel, didn't he? He thought that he was the bargain that God wanted. Hey, let me tell you something, my friend. God doesn't need us. The only reason he comes anywhere near needing us is because he loves us. He wants us because he loves us. But he doesn't need us. He can do anything he wants, any way he wants. Hey, you know, like Bill Cosby said, hey, don't talk to me that way. I'll knock those. Hey, and if I don't like you, I'll kill you. I can make another one just like you. Right? Hey, God can do anything he wants with us. And by all rights, we deserve to go to hell, don't we? Because we're sinners who have disrespected and disobeyed a perfectly holy God. We don't deserve anything from God. But he loves us. Praise God he loves us. He says, then will the Lord be my God. Jacob thought he was giving God a deal. Oh, God, I know you really, and if something wrong with us when we do that to God. Verse 22, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. Oh, boy, he's going to make a house for God. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Give the tenth unto thee. Here, Jacob's problem was he thought he had something to bargain with. This is my life. This is my choice. This is my destiny. This is what I choose to do. Too many people look at their parents and say, this is my life. I'm going to do what I... You know, there's that horrible 80s evil song, this is my life, leave me alone. That little snippet of that chorus rings in my memory as the perfect epitome of the rebellion that the world was stirring up in the youth of the 80s. And, of course, coming through the hippies of the 60s and early 70s and all that social rebellion against everything. But most of all, the rebellion was against God. This is my life. Leave me alone. And that's basically what Jacob's saying here. This is my life, God. Oh, you want my life, God? Okay. I'll make a deal with you. See, this is the bargaining level of loyalty that sometimes we're tempted to do with God. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because, you know, I think probably most of us have done it at some point. Hopefully it hasn't been recently. Hopefully we've grown up enough that we wouldn't say this to God. But, oh God, if you just save me from this problem, I'll serve you. Oh, God, if you just give me this, then I will. I prayed that prayer when I was about, I want to say, 9 years old. And it was Christmas time, and I was looking at Radio Shack catalogs. And I saw some remote control cars. And a neighbor of mine had one. They were playing with it, and it was the coolest thing in the world. No wires. And you could control that car, make it go anywhere you wanted to. You know, zoom around. And I said to God, God, I've never asked you for nothing in my life. Liar. I was a liar. Oh, God, I've never asked you for nothing in my life. Yes, I had. What about asking him to save me, for one thing? I said, oh, God, please, please. As if I torment myself enough, I'm going to force God to do something for me. Sometimes we do that. It with God in prayer, don't we? We sit there and we think that if we make ourselves pitiful enough, that we'll twist God's arm into doing something for us. That's not the way it works. That's not what God is looking for from us. Sometimes God has to say no. And we have to listen, we have to submit. But we don't do that at the bargaining level. At the bargaining level, we'll say, oh God, I'll do this. I'll go to church all the time if you just do this for me. Oh God, I'll never cuss again. If you do, God, I'll give you. Look at what Jacob did here. Jacob thought he was giving God a deal. But notice what he was bargaining with. He thought the things that he was bargaining with belonged to him. What does the Bible tell us? The Bible says, for ye are not your own, but ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You don't belong to yourself. It's not your life. You don't have it to bargain with because God already bought you. You belong to Him. That's why the apostles, whenever they wrote their letters, so many times they would say, the servant of Jesus Christ, the servant of Jesus Christ, the servant of Jesus. They understood they belonged to Him. Do we? Jacob wasn't yet there. He would get there later in life, but he wasn't there yet. Look at what he was bargaining with. He said, if you will protect me on my way, this way that I go, if you will protect my way. But what did David say? He said, lead me in the way everlasting. That wasn't David's way. David understood it was God's way. See, Jacob thought he was in control of his life path. He thought he was the one making decisions about what he was going to do in life and where he was going to go. And his way was the best. And what every decision that Jacob made brought him grief. Until he learned to rely on God. Every decision that he made, even the ones that made him financially successful, brought him sorrow and turmoil. Even to the point that his wife is honoring false idols and gods above God himself. What a horrible thing. He didn't speak to his brother but like three times in his life after this. Maybe two or three times. He thought it was his way, my bread, my clothes, my plan. Is that the way you think about your life? Do you think you're the one in control? You've got to make this decision? This is your life? That's what this world tells you. Notice when he even talked about God, he said, you'll be my God. He's not even talking about God as in God because he is God. He isn't talking about God as if he's God because he is God. I don't know if I made that clear. It's a little bit weird the way I said it. So let me explain it to you this way. He was only going to make God God when he decided that he would be his God. But he did not treat God as if God was who he is just because he is God. See, we sit there and we think, oh, I've made you my God. You are my God. But guess what? Even if you did not declare him to be your God, he'd still be God, whether you like it or not. And if you have not yet turned to Jesus Christ for your salvation, he is still God. And even those atheists out there that want to reject him and say, oh, you're not God. You're not my God. You're not even a real God. They can say it all they want. They're still going to have to bow the knee before Jesus Christ. They are going to have to declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It doesn't matter how much they want to say that he's not God. He is God. And God didn't need Jacob to declare that the Lord was God. He is God. But Jacob thought he was giving God a bargain. And notice he said, my church. Oh, ho, ho. Okay, tuck in your feet because I'm getting to stepping on some toes here in a second. See, notice what he says here. He says, I will build you a house. It was my way. It was my God. It was my church. He said, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. But notice, he's the one who's going to make it. I built this house. I made this place for God. I am doing... You know what? When we look at this Canaan Baptist Church and we think of this as my church, there's a sense in which that's healthy if it's in the right boundaries. But there's a place in which it becomes dangerous when we start thinking about it as being ours and subject to our will, and because it's my church, and because I put blood and sweat and tears into this church, I should be in control. Hey, guess what? I put blood and sweat and tears in this church too. And granted, it's not as long as some of you. I know that. But guess what? It's not my church. It's not your church. In the sense that it ultimately is God's church. This building, yes, is his. But even more important, every single member that he's called to be part of this church belongs to him. It's not you making it church. It's God who makes it church. And if we are not careful, he will come to us and say, I am taking away your candlestick from its place. And if we are not careful, and if we don't repent, and if we don't do the first works, he'll show us exactly whose church it is. I want to see this church go until Jesus comes back. Is that what you want? Then you need to recognize it's his church. Jacob said, it's my way, my God, my church. Oh, here's one. He said, it's my tithe. Then I'll give you 10%. If, then I'll give. Notice, he didn't recognize the pride of what he was saying. He should have said, it's yours anyways. I'll give it to you whether you do anything for me or not. That's where Job got, and we'll look at that in a minute. But he thought it was his tithe. You remember Jonah? Remember when Jonah went down to Joppa and got on a ship to go to Tarshish? Remember Jonah? Jonah was running in the opposite direction of where he was supposed to go. Nineveh was to the east. He was going to the west. And notice, Jonah thought he was in control of his money. The Bible says specifically, he bought a ticket to go in rebellion to God. He bought a ticket to go to Tarshish. See, he thought he owned his money. He'd do what he wanted with it. God was going to show him, no, you're not going where you wanted to go. You're going where I want you to go. See, so many people don't support missions or go to mission fields because they think they own their money. The tithe belongs to him. Hey, he gives you all of it that you have anyways. By all rights, it's all his. See, the bargaining level of loyalty. If, God, if, then I will serve you. Well, let's look at the because level of loyalty. In Exodus chapter number 12, verse 30, we go to Pharaoh for this. Now, we know from Scripture that Pharaoh was not a believer. Turn to Exodus chapter number 12, verse 20, but let me read to you that verse where it shows us that Pharaoh, in fact, was not a believer. In Romans chapter 9, it's all about Pharaoh and how God used Pharaoh. But in verse number 22, he says, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? What he's saying to us is that Pharaoh had already made his decision about his eternal destiny. And God says he's already fitted to destruction. He's already headed to hell. But I bore with him long. I had patience with him because I wanted to teach the world something about my people. I wanted to teach the Jews something about their relationship with me. And so I bore with Pharaoh, even though he should have already been dead and in hell. That's the way I take it. But look at Exodus chapter number 12, verse 30. And Pharaoh rose up in the night. This is after the death of the firstborn in the Passover. He says, and Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Every house had at least one person dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. Now, if you don't remember the whole story of the 10 plagues there, Pharaoh kept going back and forth with the children of Israel. And he would say, okay, you can go, but only your men can go. You got to leave your wife and children here. He said, okay, you can go, but you got to leave your cattle here. He said, okay, you can go, but you can only go this far. Okay, you can go, but only. And this is the first time it took the death of the firstborn, it took the Passover to make Pharaoh say, okay, you can go as you have said, period. And the only reason Pharaoh obeyed God and showed God any loyalty is because he was afraid of judgment. He had lost his firstborn son. It's the only reason that he obeyed. Because of. Is that why you serve God? Just because you're afraid of him judging your heart or judging your life? Listen, there is a fear of the Lord that will lead to wisdom, and it is good. But there's a fear of judgment that will destroy. Pharaoh had no seeking God. This is how you know whether your judgment, whether your loyalty to God is because you're afraid of judgment or because you're believing him, okay? See, he did not seek God at any time. Pharaoh sought his false gods through his priests and their magic, but he never sought the true God. He never asked himself, is Jehovah really the God, the one true God? He never asked that question. And so many people will do good things, but they'll do good things even though God is not their God. They're just afraid of judgment, but they're not making God their God. There's no seeking of God with Pharaoh. There was no serving God with Pharaoh. Remember in Matthew 7:22, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. See, God is saying, just because you do good does not mean you're serving God. There's people that do good that do not serve God. And it's because they do it for their own iniquity. They withhold God. They withhold their rights to make their own decision from God. There are these people that you say, hey, are you going to stay a virgin until you're married? Well, I hope so. You hope so? It's not in your control? Yes, it is. These are these people that say, oh, I love this one because I get this one more. I used to get that one when I was a youth group leader, but I get this one all the time now. Hey, you going to church? Well, I hope so. Maybe. I'm going to try to. The right answer is yes. Listen, if you're not sick and if you're not infirm, you should be in church. If you're really a believer, There are some people that only come to church because they're afraid that God's going to get them if they don't. And while we should understand God will chastise us if we don't, it's not the fear of him chastising us that should be driving us. It's the love that it's the right thing to do. It's what he wants. We're showing him we love him. That's what it should be about. That wasn't with Pharaoh. Pharaoh had no love for God. He had no faith in God. He only did what God wanted him to because he was made to. And these people will sit there and get to the judgment and say to God, God, we prophesied in your name. Hey, just because somebody is a prophet, air quotes, does not mean they really are a prophet of God. What else does he say? They say, we've cast out devils. Hey, just because somebody casts out a devil does not make them God's servant. It's what it says. And in thy name done many wonderful works. Hey, just because somebody does wonderful works does not mean they did it for God. But he gives us the key. He says, I never knew you. They were never saved, first of all. Second of all, he says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. See, for whatever reason, their motivation for doing it was not for God. Their motivation for doing it was their own iniquity, their own pride, their own fame, their own whatever it was. Listen, when we do for our own and for ourself instead of doing for God, we're workers of iniquity. So we see this bargaining level where it says, God, I'll obey you if, God, you'll be my God if. Then we see the because level that only serves God because, you know, just because we're afraid of his judgment. They don't really seek God. They don't really serve God, and they don't have salvation. But the one who has salvation is the believing level of loyalty. If you've never been saved, it's only by Jesus Christ and through his blood. See, you and I can't bargain with God because we're already sinners. Because we're sinners, we deserve separation from God. For all have sinned, Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You've already missed it if you sinned one time. I won't ask you to raise your hands if you've ever sinned, because some of you won't raise your hand, and I know you'll be lying. Hey, we've all sinned, right? God says it. And the only salvation comes by putting our faith and trust in his finished work. You can't earn it. You can't pay God back for it. You can't keep it once you have it. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. And that's your salvation. That's the believing level. Let's turn to Job chapter 13, verse 15, and we'll be done. This is the last passage, the last point. The believing level of loyalty we see in Job. And by the way, Jacob did get to it eventually. When he was done making bargains with God, when he was done playing games and trying to trick God into obeying him. See, Jacob thought he could trick anybody into anything, including God. But he did eventually learn that God was God, and that he needed to serve him just because he's God. And notice Job here, what he says, Job 13, verse 15. You got to be careful about preaching from Job, preachers, because you got to be careful about who's saying what. Sometimes you'll have a verse that looks really good, and you don't realize that it's the flawed counsel of the enemies giving their bad counsel. You got to be careful. But look at what Job says in Job 13, 15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. He also shall be my salvation, for a hypocrite shall not come before him. Notice what he says. He says, though God slay me, I will serve him because I refuse to become a hypocrite. Notice his absolute trust in God that God has permission in Job's own mind to kill him. And Job does not hold it against God. He says, even if he kills me, I will trust him. Even if he kills me, I will trust him. Job's faith in God was absolute, and we would never have known it if he didn't go through the trials that he did. This is why God let him go through the trials, that we might know that the faith of Job was what God said. He said, Job will not deny me. And he went about to prove to Satan that Job would not deny him, and he didn't. Because he said, even if he kills me, I'll trust in him. And if I were to stop believing in God, even if it meant my death, Job saying, yeah, it would make me a hypocrite. He says, I will not become a hypocrite. Am I only going to believe in God when God does good things for me? Will I not also believe him when there's hard times? This is the faith. This is the believing level of loyalty that says, even if it's God's choice to kill me, I'm going to be loyal to him. I'm going to stick with him no matter what. Even if I don't get the prayers answered that I think should be answered, or if I don't get the answers the way I think they should happen, I'm still going to believe in God. That's the believing level of loyalty. That's the loyalty that we all should be at. Now listen, friends, I know sometimes, as believers, we're there. But sometimes we start slipping back. And when we backslide, we start to get slipped back there. Listen, my friends. Yet though he slay me, I will trust in him. Notice that while those who only serve God because level, where they're only afraid of judgment, notice they do those things, but they're not for God. They're not really good works. But when we do them by faith, they become good works. Hebrews 11:6. I'll read it to you for sake of time here. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See, what's the difference between those people where they said, hey, we prophesied in your name, we cast out devils in your name, we did wonderful works in your name? The difference is they did it without faith. They did it in iniquity. But Hebrews tells us when we do what we do by faith, believing it is for God, that pleases God. That's the difference. When we do it for the wrong reasons, when we do it for our own iniquity, when we do it for our own pride, when we do it for our own selfishness, that doesn't please God. That's not by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But notice faith in the believing loyalty also brings worship. John chapter 4, verse 23, last passage. For the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. How do you know if you're worshiping in spirit and truth? The question is, are you worshiping in iniquity? Are you doing it in pride? Are you doing it for yourself? Are you doing it for the praise of men? Or are you doing it by faith for God? It's a motivation. There's a lot of good things that we do here at church that sometimes don't get the blessing of God because we've done it for our own self instead of doing it for God. But notice Job's faithfulness again. His loyalty was, even though he slay me, I will not be a hypocrite. I will serve him, even if he slays me. He's right and I'm wrong. So he said, I would be a hypocrite if I stopped believing him, is what he said. That's loyalty. See, because what Job knew that we forget is that even when there's hard times, God is still trying to do what's best for us. That's what Job knew that we forget. Even when it hurts sometimes, God is still trying to do the best for us. Sometimes we bring that pain on ourselves because of our selfishness and everything. But Job knew, even in the worst of situations, I'm still going to believe him. I'm still going to trust him. What level of loyalty are you at with God? Are you at the bargaining level where you said, God, if you do this, then I'll serve you, then I'll love you, then you'll be my God? Or are you at the because level where you only do it because you're only loyal to God because of judgment? Or are you at the faith level that says, the believing level that says, even if I don't understand what's going on, even if I die, I'll still die believing God? Where are you at? Christians, if we're saved, we've been to that believing level to get saved. But if we're going to walk by faith, we've got to stay at that believing level. And when we start shifting back, that's when we lose fellowship. You just got to come back to that believing level every time. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, humble to be before the throne of grace. Dear God, I'm not worthy to lift my voice in prayer to you. I'm not worthy to be a pastor of this church. But you are our pastor. You are the head of this church. And we humble ourselves before you. And we ask you that you help us to be faithful, to be loyal to the things that we have an obligation to this word, to you, to our faith in you. Lord, I say to you, even though you slay me, yet will I trust in you. Help us to walk in that faith. Not for ourselves, not for our pride, not for our own fame, but for you. And Lord, if there's someone here who has not yet come to that faith in Christ, please cause them to see that today they need to be saved. In Jesus' name I pray, with our heads bowed for a moment of invitation. So Holy Spirit of God spoke to you about something. Come on down to the altar, do business with God. No need to wait. You know that the Spirit's told you something. Come on down and deal with God. Perhaps there's someone here that would say, Pastor, please pray for me. I'm not sure if I'm saved, or I know I need to be saved. Praise the Lord, Brother Todd. Brother Todd, can you help me out? If you say, I want to make sure I'm saved, is there anyone else? Raise your hand. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Let's all stand. Brother Harvey's going to sing in just a moment, but perhaps you need this. If God spoke it to you, don't waste an opportunity. If you need to speak to me about salvation or baptism or church membership, come on down and get my attention. Maybe it's a special prayer request.